Hi, my name is Adrienne Porter-Felt, and I'm a graduate student at UC Berkeley. I did this work jointly with Helen Wong and Alex Maschuk while I was an intern at Microsoft Research, and also did this work jointly with Steve Hanna and Erica Chin, who are also at UC Berkeley. Today I'm going to be talking about permission redelegation, attacks and defenses. So in modern client platforms, like the browser or smartphones like iOS there, applications are not completely trusted. Applications are either wholly untrusted or only partially trusted by the user. As such, applications are isolated to each other, except for IPC, using explicit communication mechanisms. And by default, they're not given access to users' private devices like cameras or microphones, and data like the user's location. Instead, users have to explicitly grant permissions to gain access to these devices and data. And since each application is not equally trusted by the user, each application may have its own set of permissions reflecting the application's needs and the user's trust in that application. You may have seen permissions that appear in these types of modern client platforms. Android and iOS are smartphones that have permission systems. In the box with the orange writing, you see an Android permission prompt there that's displayed to the user during installation. HTML5 and browser extensions are also bringing these permissions into the browser. HTML5 is beginning to introduce permissions like this geolocation one. You see in the prompt from Safari there that there's a website asking for the user's access to the user's location. Permission redelegation is an attack that can occur in a system that has both per-application permissions and communication between applications. Permission redelegation occurs when an application that lacks a permission gains access to additional privileges by communicating with another application. This is a special case of the confused deputy problem, although unlike the general confused deputy problem, we focus specifically on user-controlled resources. We're not concerned about resources like the application's own files or databases or the application's backend. We're specifically interested in helping users' privacy and access control requests be followed. So instead of just telling you more about these types of attacks, I'm actually just going to show you one. In this video, my demo app will turn Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and the GPS location on without the required permissions. This is possible through the setting application's public interfaces. The settings widget is shown here in the middle of the screen. The first three icons are Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS location. The settings widget has the permissions that allow it to turn these three devices on and off. Clicking on one of these buttons will cause the settings widget to toggle the respective device. They were on, and now all three are off. My demo application does not have the permissions to change device states. I'm going to show you that it doesn't have these permissions. First, let's look at an app that does have permissions. This application is completely unrelated to my demo application, but here you can see what permissions look like. They are shown here at the bottom of the application info page. Now let's take a look at the application info page for my demo app. As you can see, it does not have any permissions and should not be able to edit device settings. Remember once again that right now the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS location are off. Now I'm going to start up my demo app. I'm clicking the Start button to start the demonstration, which right now is just a simple animation. In the background, my application is sending messages to the Settings widget, imitating the messages from the operating system that notify the Settings app when one of its buttons has been pressed. So the Settings widget thinks that the user has clicked on one of its buttons, telling it to toggle these devices. Of course, the user is not really doing anything. These messages are coming from my unprivileged application. As you can see, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS have been turned back on without the user intentionally doing anything. So to explain what you just saw there, I installed my demo malicious application on my phone. It then sent a message to the settings application to invoke an internal component that had been accidentally made public. The settings application then used its own permissions to toggle the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS. So in this talk, I'm next going to talk about our threat model.
I'm going to explain in some more detail what I mean by a permission redelegation attack and who the actors are. Then I'm going to try to convince you that permission redelegation is a real problem that you should care about and that platform designers should care about. And also that permission systems should not permit permission redelegation attacks. Last, I'm going to propose IPC inspection as a defense mechanism against permission redelegation attacks. And I'm going to briefly talk about our implementation and also our evaluation of the approach. So now I'm going to introduce the actors in a permission redelegation attack. So let's start with the permission system. The permission system enforces the user's permission policy. The permission system is what displays the prompt to the users where they say yes or no, keeps track of these permissions for each application, and then also says yes or no when an application attempts to access an API call. Next, there's the deputy. The deputy application is an application that has user authorization to perform certain tasks or access certain data. The deputy is not malicious. We're not worried about it intentionally abusing its permissions or colluding with other applications. However, on the other hand, it's also not a security watchdog. You can't expect all developers to be security experts. They might be experts in other things, like image recognition or something. And the deputy exposes public services to other applications. So maybe it's a confused deputy. So it intended some part of it to be used in a certain way, and it's being used unexpectedly, which causes it to facilitate a permission redelegation attack. Or maybe it's careless, meaning it intentionally allows this to happen, but without realizing that it's undermining the permission system. Last, we have the attacker. The attacker is a malicious application that the user has installed or run. But even though the user is using it, he or she doesn't trust it fully. It doesn't have some permissions. And the piece of malware wants to get access to those resources that it doesn't have the permissions for by exploiting a deputy to access a resource. So now I'm going to discuss some real-world permission redelegation attacks like the one that I showed you earlier in that video. We use Android as a case study because it's a large permission system with many applications that use the platform. We don't have any web attacks here, although I do think the web is important to keep in mind, but that's mostly because HTML5 permissions are not yet widely implemented and deployed. However, please view our Android case study as precautionary for the future of the web as browser permissions become more prevalent in the future. So our first step was to identify potential candidates for applications that could accidentally facilitate permission redelegation attacks. There are two necessary preconditions for an attack. First, the deputy has to have a dangerous permission. And second, the deputy has to provide a public interface that can be invoked by other applications. To find potential candidates, we analyzed the manifests of 872 Android applications. That's a collection of 16 built-in system applications, a set of free and paid popular applications, the 100 most recently uploaded applications. So we looked at all their manifests to see if they fulfill these two necessary preconditions. We found that 37% are indeed candidates for attacks. However, just because an application is a candidate for an attack doesn't mean that it actually has a path in it that can be used to launch an attack. We built a tool to try to find attacks in potential candidates. So to do this, we perform a call graph analysis. So what we want to know is if there is a path that leads from a public entry point to an API call that's protected with a dangerous permission. So to do this, we build a call graph and then work backwards, going from the API call towards the public entry points, to see whether or not one of these paths exists. Once we found a path, we manually verify them by building attacks to make sure that they really existed. So we built attacks using 5 of the 16 system applications. These system applications are the default Android applications that come installed on every Android phone. We found 15 attacks in these 5 applications, 15 attacks meaning 15 API calls that could be accessed through public entry points. Most of them were confirmed and fixed. They were fixed by either removing the public entry point and making it private because it had only been accidentally made public, or by adding permissions so that only other privileged applications would be allowed to invoke it. The only ones that weren't fixed were ones that had already been coincidentally patched or removed in the next version of Android that had come out by then. Also, this is a lower bound. We were mostly trying to do a proof of concept thing. Our static analysis is not intended to be the final word on whether or not attacks exist. It's possible that others may be in these applications. So now to revisit that attack I showed you earlier in the video with a little bit more detail. My demo malware sends a message to a widget that's a component, actually a specifically receiver for those of you who are familiar with Android, inside the settings application. We send in a message that's a URI with zero for all of the parts of the URI. This makes the settings widget think that the user has pressed the first button in their array of buttons, which corresponds to toggling the Wi-Fi. As a result, it would, for example, toggle the Wi-Fi here. I'm also going to quickly go over two other example attacks. We have some more examples in the paper if you're interested. So the first one is in the desk clock application. Here, the desk clock has an internal service that's meant to play alarms. So what another application can do is create an alarm object and send it to the desk clock's internal service and tell it, hey, play this alarm. So as a matter of fact, you can tell it to play alarm forever, vibrating the phone, keeping the screen on, and the CPU on, preventing the phone from going to sleep. And not only is this extremely annoying, but it drains your battery very quickly. And the user has no way of stopping it unless they figure out that somehow that this is coming from the desk clock application and killing that process. Then there's the phone application. So when the operating system has an incoming call, it dispatches that event to the built-in phone application, which then displays the event to the user by bringing up the picture of the person's face, their phone number, vibrating the phone, making some noise, maybe flashing the light on the front of the camera. However, when the user presses a button, the call is silenced because either the user does not want to answer the phone call or because they've answered it. So another application could send a message to that same button, causing the phone application to stop ringing, to cancel the vibration, and to turn off the light that's flashing on the front of the phone so there's no outward evidence that the phone is ringing anymore. So now that I've hopefully convinced you that these types of attacks could happen and that there are these vulnerabilities in applications, I'd like to talk about how we could prevent these types of attacks. We have three primary goals. Our first is that we don't want to rely on application developers for prevention. Even good developers, like the Google developers who wrote those system applications, can accidentally include paths that can be used for permission redelegation attacks. So to deal with that, we want to enable the permission system to prevent permission redelegation so that applications can't circumvent the policy that the user has requested. However, you know, you could trivially implement this by just disallowing all communication. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to break applications. We still want to allow applications to interact with each other for useful mashups. Also, please note that you could come up with a different solution to this problem if you changed our first goal. Later, Mike Dietz is going to talk about what type of mechanism you could develop if you are interested in empowering developers themselves to deal with these types of problems. We propose something called IPC inspection. How this works is when a deputy application receives a message, the system reduces the deputy's permissions for the length of that session to the intersection of the deputy's permissions, the deputy's previous permissions, I mean, and the requester's permissions. So in other words, a deputy's current set of permissions captures its communication history. To prevent denial of service attacks, a deputy can specify who can or cannot send it messages. In the web, this might mean you specify what origins are allowed to send you messages. In Android, this might say you only want messages from applications with certain permissions. So IPC inspection is named that because it essentially generalizes stack inspection to IPC and calls. But instead of carrying around permission information on the call stack, we only do it at application message points. So I'm going to walk through a quick non-malicious example here. So here we have a mapping application that has some permissions, and it sends a message to the settings app. So they have the GPS state in common, so the settings application keeps that permission, but it loses the Bluetooth state permission because its requester does not have it. So when it makes a request to the permission system, for an API call. It'll be allowed because it still has the GPS state permission, which its requester also had. However, now let's go through a malicious example. Here we have, for example, my malicious demo application that sends a message to the settings application. Now the permission system will remove both the GPS and Bluetooth permissions from the settings application so that when the settings application tries to fulfill the request and make an API call, it'll be denied. So I just described a way we can detect when permission redelegation attacks occur. But what do we do at that point of detection? So a time of use system is something like the browser or iOS, where users are prompted dynamically at runtime to grant access to permission. So when an application makes the API call, the user is then asked to grant or deny it. So in this type of system, you would add a new runtime prompt for permission redelegation saying, hey, do you want to let the map application combined with the settings application communicate with the API? In an install time system like an Android, all of the permissions need to be requested up front during installation. So here, the requester must statically ask for all necessary permissions up front, and the user won't be consulted at runtime, even when permission redelegation happens. So permission redelegation, like in this example, will just be outright blocked. The user won't be prompted about it. You could imagine a relaxed install time system, which is basically Android, but you add prompts specifically for the case of permission redelegation. These could take the form of literal prompts or trusted UI widgets, where the user performs some action that lets the operating system know that the request is okay. So there are some complexities here that I didn't mention when I first introduced the idea. So in the simplest form of communication between applications, one application sends a message to another. It's very clear here that one is a requester and one is a deputy. As such, we reduce the deputy's permissions, but not the requester's permissions. However, in duplex communication, there's a bidirectional channel with messages flowing back and forth between the two applications. Here, they're both acting as deputies for each other, so we reduce both parties' permissions during and after this communication event. In a request-reply scenario, you essentially have a client-server. We have a communication going both ways, but one is still acting as a deputy and one is acting as a requester. So we're essentially here, we're trying to figure out the semantics of the type of communication and what it means. So a more strict approach, like mandatory access control or history-based access control, would reduce both the recipient and the sender for request reply. However, we found that we didn't find evidence of attacks occurring using request reply communication. And furthermore, it breaks a lot of applications if you were to also reduce the requester. So we're left with this, which is the requester's permissions are not reduced. And this has the same semantics as stack inspection, which has a similar policy. So another complexity arises when a deputy needs to service both a user and multiple application requesters simultaneously. And maybe these different requesters have different sets of permissions. The solution is to create one instance per request, so that the user interacts with the primary instance. Then when a new interaction starts, we create a new application instance with its own set of current permissions that reflects its communication history. However, we don't completely isolate these instances from each other. They still share application storage, they still share access to their databases or their back-end resources so that they can still work. We implemented IPC inspection for both Android and ServiceOS. ServiceOS is a research browser at Microsoft. Both of the implementations are a few hundred lines of code each. The Android one in particular fits in very nicely with the existing Android model. Next, I'm going to talk about our evaluation of IPC inspection. We want to know two things. The first is, do we break applications? One of our main goals is that we do not want to break applications. We also check, do we stop the attacks we set out to prevent? So first I'm going to talk about the impact on deputy applications, meaning applications that are willing to receive messages from others. So applications that aren't deputies don't need to ever be multiply instantiated, and they don't ever experience privilege reduction. Unintentional deputies are deputies that have accidentally exposed a public interface or done so thoughtlessly. And IPC inspection will prevent their misuse. Then there are intentional deputies, which are applications that do want to handle incoming messages. These should add, if they want to receive messages from anyone, then they should add exception handling so that they don't crash if there's a failure, a permission failure. In an install time permission system specifically, intentional deputies should be nice and tell requesters what permissions they'll need to interact with them. I'll explain a little bit more why now. So in a time of use system, requesters don't need to change anything because the user will be dynamically prompted to allow the requester and the deputy to together access this permission. In an install time system, however, requesters need to add permissions up front before the application is running. And requesters will break if they don't add the necessary permissions. However, this isn't that big of a burden on developers. Developers already have to add permissions for the API. They should already notice permission failures when they're testing the application. They're familiar with this model of needing to add permissions to access resources. And deputies could help make this easier for them by putting in their documentation or by specifying in their manifest what their requirements are. However, note that that's just for install time systems. Now, you could, the purpose for having a relaxed install time system is to make this easier on requesters so that requesters don't need to declare all their permission requirements for deputies up front. So next we wanted to evaluate, does this actually break applications? We looked at 20 Android applications randomly selected from our larger set. We found that 5 of them were deputies, or intentional deputies. Developers might want to add exception handling code. 6 of them were requesters. We examined the requesters more thoroughly. We found that 4 of the requesters already had the permissions that they needed to interact with their deputies. 2 of them would have needed, that's 10% of applications, would have needed to add permissions in order to fully interact with the deputies in the way they wanted. So next we looked at the effectiveness of IPC inspection at attack, preventing attacks. So within the same set of 20 Android applications, we found 4 unintentional deputies, which were applications that had accidentally public entry points. We were conservative when choosing these 4, but these 4 definitely should not have made those things public. And IPC we ran these applications with a requester that we made on our platform, and IPC inspection indeed stops the attacks. We also found that our implementation stopped the attacks on the built-in system application exploits that we discussed earlier in the talk. So in conclusion, real-world permission redelegation vulnerabilities do exist in applications, even well-written applications, including a third of the Android system applications that are on every Android 2.2 phone. Those still contain pads that can be used for permission redelegation attacks. Future systems should be designed to prevent permission redelegation in this way. In particular, the web is at a point where permissions are not widely deployed in applications, and using one of the new permissions is an opt-in behavior. So I feel like this might be a good point to introduce something new to prevent permission redelegation attacks. IPC inspection is an operating system or browser mechanism that prevents permission redelegation. In a purely install time system, some requesters will need to add permissions. We found that in our relatively small set of 20, about 10%, 2 of the applications would have needed to add permissions. Are there any questions?
Willink, NC State. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to the change in semantics to the permissions if you would deploy something like that on Android right now. So for example, right now the camera permission says that you can access the entire camera interface, you can record, you can take snapshots, and you might give this to the barcode application. And then you'd have another application that would want to get a barcode out of that. Now, under your system, there's certain conditions under which in order to get that barcode, that digit, that sort of string out of that application, you would also then have to have that camera.
So I happen to have a backup slide on exactly that question. I was hoping someone would ask that as I could talk about it. That is a very good point. So here, for the example he was just talking about, you have an application, let's call it Beer Cloud. Where BeerCloud wants to know what beer is associated, like a user wants to know something about their favorite beer. So they want to take a picture of it, and they're going to ask the barcode scanner to take a picture of the label. Now, under IPC inspection, unless BeerCloud also has a camera permission, the barcode scanner is not going to be able to interact with the system API because it loses that permission. So under our base model in an install time permission system like Android, you would have to add the camera permission to BeerCloud, which would slightly overprivilege it. However, you could add a time of use permission specifically for this. And it doesn't necessarily have to take the form of a permission prompt. There are some people in my group who are looking at user-driven access control with access control gadgets, where the idea is to give the operating system a way to know that this is being approved by the user. So when you press the camera button, for example, it says, oh, okay, the user has taken an action. This isn't a permission redelegation attack.
Thanks.
Creating multiple instances to avoid privileged escalation may cause the application crash. So I know you propose a singleton mechanism, but who must take care, or who must be aware of the singleton? So no, application developer have to aware of the simultaneous request or so.
Yeah, so one of the details I did leave out was the idea of a singleton application. So a good example is like a music player where it's playing music in the background. You can only have one of it. And in that case, yes, the deputy would need to take, we need to declare itself as a singleton. So the application would break if they did not add that in Android to their manifest. This doesn't really come up as much in the web setting, but it is a problem for Android, and the developer would have to make an annotation.
So I actually had a similar question about intentional delegation. What you just explained now, how do you know, if you have a physical way of indicating, yes, I want the camera to be used now, how do you know that it's the correct component that's actually receiving that barcode in this case?
That's a very good question. I have to say that's future work. We're not entirely sure what kind of mechanism, and I'm actually not working on it, but if you talk to Franzi Rosner and Helen Wong later, mm-hmm. They can give you some more information about their project. You could, for example, have a mechanism that says, okay, that where the user presses a button in order to transition to the next application, and with it is tied the idea that that application is going to be taking a picture.
And so in the short term, what do you think about the Java stack introspection method of just having a do-privileged, I know what I'm doing, I want to escape out of stack introspection protection option?
Yeah, so you could do that. So I guess the worry is that people then just start prefacing all of their message receipts with that, so they never have to worry about it. But that would be an option if you were really worried about applications breaking. If you really want to make sure that application developers have a way out, you could add that.